Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. Today we are celebrating Women's History Month, March, as in March forward out of darkness and forward into light. This edition of Vegan Nation features interviews with two vegan women who, in 2015, are making history with their vegan activism, showing respect for all females, which transforms this world filled with much mistrust, fear, and attack into one filled with trust, safety, and peace. My guests are Hope Bohanek, author of The Ultimate Betrayal, Programs Director at UPC, United Poultry Concerns, and founder of Compassionate Living. Hope will be sharing information about the Conscious Eating Conference on April 4th in Berkeley, California. My other guest is Renee King Sonnen, a country western singer who is transforming her cattle ranch in Texas into Rowdy Girl Sanctuary. Renee will be giving us details about the Rowdy Girl fundraiser vegan festival being held at her ranch just south of Houston on May 2nd. I'm honored and happy to introduce my first guest, Renee of Rowdy Girl Sanctuary. Welcome, Renee, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you.
Let's start right away with Rowdy Girl Sanctuary. How did that happen and what's happening?
I've lived here on the ranch for about 6 years, and you know, I'm a Houston girl. I was raised in Houston, Texas, and thought I loved animals, and I did for all practical purposes. But when I became vegan, I realized that, you know, how easy it is to say we love one species and eat the other. Well, that kind of all came home to me living here at the ranch. I wasn't prepared for what was to happen when the red trailer pulled in and took the babies to the sale auction to be sold into the slaughter system.
Every time the babies leave, the mom is crying. Every time the red trailer goes, there's a little girl and sweet mama panda running scared, wailing. The panic in the air. Who's going next in the red trailer? Who's going on down the road?
That's what happened. The whole thing started kind of snowballing. I one day said, because he was getting ready to pull that trailer out, he said the trailer's going out the next day. I mean, he was adamant. I said, if you take that trailer anywhere, I'm following. I will follow it to the sale barn. I'll follow wherever they go. I'll meet the demise of those babies. These are lives that are being taken, and I can no longer tolerate it. I draw the line in the sand here. That trailer leaves, I follow it. That's the power that started Rowdy Girl Sanctuary.
No more babies leaving in the rain. No babies in line to go. No babies going in the red trailer. All here free to roam round the red trailer. Around the red trailer. Sticker, I'll always love you. 92, I loved your face. All the little darlings know there's a heaven for you.
When animals are seen through the eyes of being vegan, they're no different than your cat or your dog. By golly, my preacher would say, don't you name your animals? You know, you can't name them. When I started seeing things here at the ranch, I was conflicted on my insides, because when the red trailer pulled in and the babies left that first time, I just wasn't prepared for the outpouring of all the crying, all the lamenting, the wailing that went on into the night for, gosh, I don't know, seemed like weeks. I mean, it just would never stop. I mean, it was 2, 3, 4 in the morning. It didn't matter. They were looking for their babies, and, you know, and I would cry with them, and it would just keep me up. I'd go outside. So Bratty Girl Sanctuary is a birth. It's like something that's being birthed from me, from a lot of labor that I've been in as a result of the torment of these cows. And I finally couldn't take it anymore. It took 6 years for me to finally draw the line in the sand, and I didn't even know I was drawing it. It kind of just happened, came out of my mouth, and here we are.
Yeah, here we are, right, in evolution. And we're just coming to realize we don't need to kill and eat animals. And with this is going to come a cultural shift in human consciousness. And we're all in this together, and shifting from a world that's filled with discrimination, exploitation, oppression, and violence in all its forms. And that can dissolve as we collectively, and as the percentage of vegans increase, there'll be less violence. And I think a lot of it is related to the oppression and the exploitation over females and feminine reproduction, and mm-hmm. that it's about expanding our circle of compassion, that we don't just care about our own family, our own children, our own grandchildren. I give you so much credit, because it takes courage, not just the insight. It takes courage for your actions, and you are powerful.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, you know, I do believe in the aspect of our creator being feminine and masculine. This is history, and it's her story. It's her story, and it's his story. It's not just history. And it's time for the feminine consciousness to arise and take its proper seat in the evolution of the world. It's time, because quite frankly, the male patriarchal system has not worked.
Yeah, you're so right. And this is the time. It's the feminine power is rising.
You know, and it wasn't until I went vegan, Marlene, that I could see this. It was like a shift happened in me, like an explosion of DNA inside of me that was just waiting for that moment in time, because it gives me a very fresh perspective and compassion on my family, my friends. I mean, I look at these animals through a whole different set of eyes. They see me different.
Yes, I know what you're saying. I've experienced the same shift, and it's wonderful. And you are now resonating. So can you tell us about your song, Resonating to the Sound?
The song, Resonating to the Sound, actually came to be when I went to an Essene gathering. That's E-S-S-E-N-E. Essenes were the ancient Christians. They were the Christians that were driven underground, and they were actually believing the mother and the father. They were very sacred to the earth. They were vegetarian. Gabriel Cousins was there. He's a raw foodist. And it was there in Oregon that I wrote that song. I was vegan there. That song came from that experience, and it was written in 10 minutes. And little did I know that it was a precursor of this time for me, because it actually tells the story of where I'm at today.
Om Namah Shivaya. Where the
Yeah, that's right. It's time for a change, and it takes powerful women like you to speak the truth and share your talents. Thanks again. I look forward to more country western songs about veganism.
Thank you. You know, I like to sometimes call it country and eastern. Om Namah Shivaya. There you go.
Country and eastern.
Yeah. Oh. It's been a real pleasure.
Yes, yes, you are a pleasure. Thank you. And can you tell us how that came about, transforming the cattle ranch into Rowdy Girl Sanctuary?
Well, whenever I drew the line in the sand, it was in December. I started going vegan in October. That's when I actually said no more. I'd been looking at different documentaries, and I'd was crying into the night, and I'd befriended a girl on Facebook named Jeannie in California, and she'd been vegan 25, 30 years, and she encouraged me to start blogging. That's how the Vegan Journal of a Rancher's Wife came to be. It's got now almost 5,000 people that follow that journal, and it's been such a cathartic healing experience for me, because I started that journal never expecting for anything to happen other than my feelings to be expressed. The Rowdy Girl Sanctuary came after that. Totally believe in what you put out, you get back. And I, for one, believe that until we stop as a world the violence that we're eating, we'll never stop the violence that we're creating. The world has never gone vegan, the whole world, and we've tried everything else. And the world, I see us going vegan. I believe it. I believe we're at a time in history, or her story, or both, that we are actually witnessing a movement that generations from now, our kids, families are going to look back and see us as barbaric, kind of like slavery. You know, you got to keep moving it forward for humanity. I mean, I believe it's that critical. And once people get on that vibration, they resonate to that sound. Once they do that, there is no going back. Your consciousness starts lifting to uplift humanity and the planet, not fill up your gut with dead, decaying animal flesh and the excretions, you know, of animals that belong to the babies in the menstrual cycle of chickens in the form of eggs. Sorry for my rant.
This needs to be said. And I am very grateful for WCUW Community Radio that is allowing vegans to have a voice, because, as you know, it is suppressed. This talk and education of veganism is not included in the classroom, the music, the sermon.
I love the vegan food. I mean, just the fresh vegetables, all of the legumes and the seeds, and I just thrive on it. I love it. And, you know, I have my husband, he likes a lot of, you know, the meats and stuff you can get through Gardein and Beyond Meat.
Yeah, those meat alternatives, the plant-based meats are great. Mm-hmm. And it's really exciting to see the financial investors of being involved in it. The founder of Twitter, the founder of Facebook, Bill Gates are all investing in the plant-based meats, which is great because it's nutritious food that's delicious without the violence, the abuse, and the cruelty and the suffering.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw something on that. That's awesome.
What contacts do you have for us about Rowdy Girl Sanctuary?
RowdyGirlSanctuary.org is my website. The fundraiser is May the 2nd. Our celebrity guest, which I'm really excited about, he's also on my board, Chip Anderson, with Cowspiracy. He's going to be here. Lorena Muke is coming from Georgia. She is with the Christian Vegan Association. Dr. Philip Conklin, he's in Houston, and he's a chiropractor. We've got some great entertainment. Tara Taylor's coming in. Jim Ferris, Michael Vibriel, Wild Cactus Rose is coming. She's got an Americana crossover, alternative country bluegrass funk band. Can't wait to hear her. B-Dog is one of our sponsors. Follow Your Heart, So Delicious Dairy Free.
Yeah, that's really great to hear. And that's what's happening, is this transition to veganism is reaching the tipping point. And it's just through sharing our personal experiences and educating to open our hearts and minds to a better way of life.
And thank you so much for having me. And I really do appreciate it, Marlene. I really do. Thank you for reaching out.
Thank you, Renee. Thank you so much.
Okay, darling.
Okay, well, and best wishes with the shindig. Is it May 4th, is it?
May 2nd.
May 2nd, on May 2nd, yeah. Great.
All right, darling. Thanks again.
We've been listening to Renee King Sonnen, who's sharing her story of vegan transformation and changing her Texan cattle ranch into Rowdy Girl Sanctuary. After the break, we have more song from Renee, as well as being joined by Hope Bohanek, the author of The Ultimate Betrayal. Hope will also be sharing information about the Conscious Eating Conference, April 4th in Berkeley, California.
You are listening to WCUW 91.3 FM, your community radio station in Worcester, Massachusetts, and we're online at WCUW.org.
Hello, this is your old pal, Thunder O'Toole. If you have yet to become a member, please consider doing so now. It's your direct financial support that keeps WCUW alive and your favorite music on the air. No amount is too small, so consider, please, a membership for $50 or $25 for seniors and students. You can pay via PayPal at WCUW.org or through our direct mail appeal. That may already be on your desk. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you very much from all of us here at WCUW.
Welcome back to Vegan Nation. Joining us now from Sonoma County, California, is Hope Bohanek. Welcome, Hope, and thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
I'd love to hear the details of your book, The Ultimate Betrayal.
I wrote The Ultimate Betrayal mainly because for 25 years, and I've been, myself personally, I've been vegan for 25 years, started hearing people say things like, oh, well, but my eggs are free range. My meat is organic and local. And all these buzzwords started coming around the animal products where people were feeling like things were getting better and things actually were all okay now. And they can go ahead and have their eggs and dairy and not worry about all the things that we had been exposing for years around industrial animal agriculture. And so I decided to really delve into that and see what was behind all these labels. And I did extensive research. I went to these farms, all these small farms that use these kind of labels, organic and cage-free and all of this. I interviewed numerous people that had rescued animals from these farms, and now the animals are at farm sanctuaries. I interviewed people that had gone undercover and worked in these places. And I expose all that in my book, both ecologically and ethically.
I'm really happy that you've written this book in bringing us back to awareness that every animal matters. It's like putting ourselves in someone else's body and their shoes to experience it. So whether it's 10,000 pigs or 100,000 chickens or turkeys or 5,000 bovines, cattle, that are in any place where they're being seen as an object instead of a living being and used against their will, and of course the slaughter process is horrific, that it matters to each one, not just to the numbers of them.
And it is an incredibly painful way to die, to have your throat slit. It is in no way humane. It's an absolute travesty that they're able to put these humane labels on meat or eggs that come from these animals because they, of course, died in a horrific manner.
Your title of your book is so appropriate and very clever and enlightening. To raise someone with the intention to kill her, and then to raise her with love, feeding her organic food, giving her a warm bed, giving her free range, and then one day to kill her, whether she's sent off
right
on a slaughter truck or that person himself or herself taking the knife and slicing her throat. And that is betrayal. There's no other name for it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that's what I argue in the book. It is the ultimate betrayal. It is a betrayal of their trust, betrayal of their love. Is horrible. Just a horrifying thing that these farmers are doing. And a lot of them, I think, are recognizing it. It's interesting because I hear more and more stories about people that have gotten into the small-scale thing where they do, oh, I'm going to do a goat dairy, or I'm going to do a cage-free egg facility. And they have to really confront their conscience around what they have to do to these animals. So I think more and more people are going to be waking up, no matter what the scale is. We can't commodify animals. They deserve to live free of our human-imposed manipulation of them.
Especially when it comes to the female animals, it is the double whammy of oppression, violence, and abuse with eggs and dairy products.
With the dairy and egg industry, it is absolutely an exploitation of the female of that species, you know, and her reproductive cycle. But as a result, the males suffer as well, because then they're a byproduct, the babies, the offspring of the dairy cows, the mothers, the male chicks are also just disposed of. So, you know, it's a horrible situation for everyone, but it's absolutely an exploitation of their female bodies and reproductive systems, for sure. Something else that's really interesting about this whole concept of humane meat and humane killing, if I could ask your listeners, think about what would you rather have happen to you? Would you rather be hit with a baseball bat or killed? It's a horrible thing to think about, of course, but, you know, any rational person would rather be hit with a baseball bat, even if it would be painful, even if it would be debilitating. But it's because we choose to live. We would want to choose the path where we could continue living our lives. Well, animals are the same way. They want to have another day in the sunshine, another day to have grass. They want to have a life. And so if you think about another question, would it be acceptable to hit a pig with a baseball bat? Like a farmer or rancher, to hit a pig with a baseball bat. Of course not. Of course not. That would be completely unacceptable. And no matter what someone's diet is, they would agree. No, of course you can't hit a pig with a baseball bat. Well, then why is it acceptable to commit the much greater violation and kill the pig? It makes no sense. It's illogical that we would be able and think that it's okay to kill this pig when we wouldn't torture it or cause it suffering. Death is the ultimate, causing someone's death. And then, of course, in our court system, murder charges, that's where you're going to get the biggest and heftiest sentences. And we recognize that taking another life is absolutely the most heinous thing you can do. The same with separation with farm animals, separating them out of our understanding of transgressions against each other and one another. For example, you know, if someone abuses a dog and even kills that dog, then they could get felony charges and arrested. But you kill 100 cows a day and you get a paycheck. So we've made farmed animals exempt from their basic understanding of transgressions against each other. And I think we're compensating in our minds for this inconsistency by saying, well, we have to at least treat them well while they're alive. But if you think that whole thought through and keep going with that thought, of course we're going to come to the place where we realize that it is wrong to kill the animal, ultimately.
I agree with you. And the system in place is illogical. And I think what's happening now, as you said, through evolution, is we're being asked to question the official stories of our culture. And when we see the discrimination, as what you described with a dog versus a pig, and as you described the oppression, exploitation, and violence to females, female sexual anatomy and physiology, to mothering, of how all of that is violated in animal agriculture, and in the philosophy of deep veganism, is that everything that we, humanity, all together, do to the animals boomerangs back to us, and it's reflected in society. So then we have discrimination against ethnicities and races, and we have exploitation and violence to women and girls rampant historically and currently worldwide. And so we see that the root of it is in our practice and our attitudes towards other beings who share this planet with us. And the good news is we can eat plants, and they're so delicious in all varieties. And could you tell us about your conference coming up, the Conscious Eating?
United Poultry Concerns is a wonderful organization. We do a lot of things. One thing that we have coming up is our Conscious Eating Conference, and it's in Berkeley, California. It's on April 4th. And it's our fourth year doing it, but it's going to be a wonderful conference. We have nationally recognized speakers that are coming. We have Victoria Moran, who wrote Main Street Vegan. She's been on Oprah twice, and she's a really fun, upbeat speaker, so she's going to be there. We have TJ Tomasi, who was an undercover investigator with Mercy for Animals and PETA for many, many years, I think 7 years. We're also going to be spending a whole hour on fish and the fishing industry. Fish, unfortunately, are such just a side note in the food and vegan conversation. They suffer just as much as mammals. They have the same capacity for pain, the same, actually now we're learning more and more that they have a deep emotional life, psychological complexities that we had no idea that they have. So there's a woman, Mary Finale. She has started a nonprofit called Fish Feel, but it's going to be a wonderful conference. You can go online on United Poultry Concern website, which is upc-online.org.
This is much more than just caring about animals. It is a holistic perspective of creating a world of peace and safety, abundance and health for all. Every child, every woman, every man, as well as every animal. And it comes right back down to what we have on our plates.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, as the saying goes, peace begins on your plate. And I think that's so true. We have violence coming into our bodies 3 times a day. We have so much violence perpetrated against the animals. How can we have peace in the human world and our human lives? It's all interconnected, and we've got to find a way to end this cycle of violence. And it's happening. I'm very hopeful because, like I said in the beginning, I've been doing this for 25 years, and the progress has just been amazing. I think we're on the right track. I wish it could happen faster for all those suffering animals right this minute in those farms, but hopefully with all of our good collective work, we're going to create the world that we want to see, which is a completely nonviolent world for animals and humans.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much, Hope.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in. A special thank you to Renee King Sonnen for her work with Rowdy Girl Sanctuary, and to Hope Bohanek, author of The Ultimate Betrayal, and one of the organizers of the upcoming Conscious Eating Conference in Northern California on April 4th. Let's go out with Renee's song, Resonating to the Sound. Join us next week at this time, where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/vegannation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Narrow, wishing you a good day.